We'll relax together for a few moments, relaxing mind and body completely. No need to hold anything that appears or push it away or anything at all, no matter what. Welcome. We'll begin today with questions. Anyone who has a question they'd like to ask, please go right ahead. And then I'll answer all the questions within the talk. Ask anything at all, especially that question you don't want to ask, where you feel too shy or too upset about what's going on or whatever it might be.
Given the current situation here in Las Manjula, to what extent should we, like say you are here, this teaching is here through you until the end of March, to what extent should we spend as much time as possible immersed in the teaching? Opposed to awareness is no more here than it is anywhere else. So just, when learning something, it's good to be completely immersed and immersed in it, and then it can really sink in very deep. Is that very important?
Question could be, it is possible that my ideas about resting before, they have been like, I take a deep breath and go inside and then relax. But it is possible also that all situations when you don't think are resting, like when you're deeply in love for a moment or a while, you don't think about appearances. You don't care about anything what's around you. Isn't that resting as well? Or a situation when you're very connected with the other, even if you argue or whatever, but there is no appearances at all, you're just connected somehow, isn't that resting as well?
Can you tell anything about dreams? Because they're getting, when I'm quiet in my mind, my dreams get more not lucid, but more they're full of emotional stuff.
The question I'm asking directly doesn't concern me, of course, but when I try to speak with somebody, his teachings or something, I find if he's already dabbling with this conventional ways, some of them they find easy to grasp it. And if they have that awakening intent, then it becomes easier for them. And the rest also becomes quick But well, there is no awakening intent. They find life as it is sufficient enough. Life as it is sufficient, and there is no need for anything, a better way of living or anything, you know. So for them, when I speak, it is just a falls into deaf ear in a way. I think just how that awakening intent comes, or something, just you can touch upon that.
How the
awakening intent.
Awakening intent. Uh-huh. All right, good. Mm-hmm. Forever stainless. Forever empty. Forever pure, timeless wisdom awareness is the doer of everything. The clear light of wisdom is doing everything. The clear light of wisdom is knowing everything. And within that, there is nothing to be known, because nothing has ever been made into anything that can be known. And so this is extremely simple and straightforward, and it's known only in resting imperturbably as all appearances, no matter what they are. There are only two approaches to realizing our fundamental nature, which is the clear light of timeless wisdom. And one approach involves conceptualization and analysis, and a doer who is involved in methods and practices. And the other approach involves the direct experience of awareness in each complete and identical moment. And in that, there is no destination to arrive at or anyone going there. In resting as awareness, resting as flawless awareness, then there's nowhere to go and no one going anywhere. So this makes it very simple, because all ideas about a destination and someone going there are gone beyond. There's only rest as the appearances of the immediacy of this moment, whatever they are. As a single non-dual expanse. And so when we talk about these two different approaches, one based on conceptualization and analysis, and a doer who's doing something through methods and practices to achieve the destination of the fundamental nature of being, then that approach very seldom leads to the full result. So, you know, we can see this very easily when we look around. It's just the way it is. And the other approach, which is the approach of relying on the direct experience of resting imperturbably, is one where there's nothing to do and no one doing it. There's just the relaxed essence of everything that is immediate, that is spontaneously present, that is completely indivisible and wide open, completely spacious and never holding to anything. It's impossible for stainless sky to hold to anything. Stainless sky doesn't hold to anything. It's an indivisible expanse. And this is so as well with the clear light of wisdom awareness. It's a single indivisible expanse. Did someone order tea?
Quite some time ago, yes.
Thank you, Jagdish.
Thank you.
Whatever happens, happens. Now, we learn that there's a doer doing something. This is what we learn. We learn that there's a doer doing something. So very often when we want to find out what our fundamental nature is, then we keep employing that practice that there's a doer doing something. And this is a way of the personal identity, the individual identity that substantializes itself through its points of view, maintaining its identity. So if we engage in lots of methods and practices that are supposed to lead to a destination, then it maintains this identity of someone who's headed to a destination. Now, that is one approach, yet it is an approach that very seldom leads to the full-blown result. So any of us can look around and see that this is so. I'm familiar with one of the great meditation centers, and I had visited there several times and know some of the people there. And then I met someone on the board there, and I've grown to know him quite well. And when I first met him, I said, "Well, who were the teachers who were enlightened at your meditation center?" And he said, "Why, that's a good question. I don't have any idea." Well, you know, unless there is a simple way of speaking about who we are that everyone everywhere can relate to, then there's no possible way to know what that is. And the bottom line for everyone, no matter who we are, is that we're aware. Nothing else is needed. There isn't anything that has ever existed outside that awareness. Forever empty, stainless flawlessness has never had any flaw in it. It's never had a doer in it. It's never had anything in it. So how can we realize that? By simply resting imperturbably. And for many of us, we're very stuck to this idea of being a doer, that we have to do something, that anything as wonderful as timeless awareness must require a lot of doing. That after all, we've had to go to school all these years to learn so many things. Please come in and sit down. Welcome. When we've been involved in this process of doing and believing that we need to learn a lot and achieve a lot and renounce certain things and keep other things and in order to find out who we are, then we maintain the substantiality of a personal identity. What we usually do is just replace what we consider to be non-spiritual points of view with spiritual points of view. But they're still points of view. It's still an anomaly of point of view. It's still an anomaly of doing. So when many of us hear about a teaching like the Great Freedom Teaching, which is based upon liberation upon hearing, so this is a response to your question. It's based on liberation upon hearing, and many people come here and just through listening, conviction dawns with absolute incontrovertible certainty about the nature of being. And this is true for many people in this room and for many other people all over the world. So now what does this require? It requires an open mind only. And everyone already has an open mind. There's never been a mind that's been closed up anywhere. The clear light of wisdom mind is always open everywhere without being anywhere. So it's never been sullied in any way. It's never been flawed in any way. It's never been stained in any way. So there's nothing to do. If we believe that we have to be deconditioned, then we're in a trap. We're in a total trap because there's nothing to be conditioned. What is unconditioned has never been conditioned and thus does not need to be deconditioned. But if we want to cling to doing, we can't possibly understand that. We have to have this personal identity that we believe we have be in control. And so very often, even in a subtle way, we maintain this point of view of being in control through very involved methods and practices that are supposed to lead to a destination. So then when we hear about a teaching that's based upon liberation on hearing only, then we say, oh, this couldn't possibly be the case. It couldn't possibly be the case. And what is that about? It's about saying, no, I couldn't possibly be flawless. It's impossible that I'm stainless. This couldn't possibly be the case. I'm conditioned. I'm flawed. I'm needing to be purified in some way. I'm totally impure. It's just another way of saying, I know there are quite a few Buddhists here. No, I couldn't possibly be Buddha. No, no, no. And so the reality of what we are is so simple that it can be liberated into full evidence in our awareness simply in hearing about it. But in order for that to occur, it's important for most of us that we do hear about it from someone. And so, you know, then it's up to us if we've had the good fortune to be placed in a circumstance like that to just keep showing up until conviction dawns, you know, see if that is really possible. And you asked the question, Ken, about what to do here in Lakshmanjula, whether to come to the teachings or be involved in other things. Well, what's most important is to maintain flawless awareness no matter what, without distraction, in a totally uncontrived way. As everything already is uncompounded, just to maintain awareness in a natural way, it really is quite effortless. But with that said, what I will also say is that what I see is that the people who keep turning up and availing themselves for all of the teachings that are offered here that are so direct and unerring, that this naturally comes about without doing anything. Some people may rest imperturbably once in a while when a challenging point of view comes up, or seek support, or do anything that is necessary to relax in that situation. But for most of us, just by hearing who we are, conviction dawns. Because for most of us, we've never heard who we are. We've never heard who we are from anyone. So the teachings that are based upon liberation upon hearing are concise, precise, they're systematic, they're methodical. They use an unerring language that's been passed down from generation to generation for many, many thousands of years. Who knows how many thousands of years. And they all say the same thing. Rest imperturbably, without distraction. That's it. And so, you know, at first we may not be able to believe that that's possibly true for us, and there are many people in this room who walked in here for the first time and didn't believe it. However, conviction did dawn, certainty did dawn within the essence of being, that what is so is always so. And this is what the tradition of liberation upon hearing is based on. There's really nothing else that's required. To just turn up and relax, and you know, nothing needs to be changed, so you don't need to change anything at all about anything going on in your life, no matter what it is. You don't need to get better thoughts or get better emotions or get rid of some thoughts and get rid of other emotions. Whatever your circumstances are, whatever the circumstances are, the appearances of your own being, they're all appearances of the clear light of wisdom. They've never been unlit. Their light has never been snuffed out or expunged in any way. And when we just allow the sheer essence of being to be as it is, then that becomes more and more obvious in a very easygoing way. Like I just said, whatever happens, happens. So there's nothing to do. Whatever appearance there is, it's an appearance of clear light. And it isn't anything other than an appearance of the clear light of wisdom awareness. when we've been focused on all the points of view within the all-encompassing pure view of awareness, then they seem bright and vivid and meaningful and significant, just like the stars and planets in the sky are so bright on a dark night. But just like when the sun comes up in the morning and it outshines all of the planets and stars in the sky, so by maintaining flawless awareness, all these appearances are outshone. And then there's only stainless flawlessness everywhere. So you see, this can't come about in any contrived way. And it never does come about in any contrived way. Even people who have been involved in very contrived methods and practices, if by chance they really realize who they are, it's only when all of that has gone beyond, when the cushion is thrown away and everything else, and it's realized that everything is extremely pure just as it is. Whatever appearances appear, they're extremely pure, flawless light just as they are. They've never been made into anything other than that. There's nothing to be unconditioned or reconditioned or deconditioned or any other condition. The only reality that is stainless flawlessness. So this is, it's very important to know that this tradition exists within humankind, and it's really up to all of us to maintain that tradition, because it almost has reached extinction. And how did that happen? Well, the teachings have almost reached extinction because at one time the teachings of stainless flawlessness of everything just as it is were very simple and direct, just like the Great Freedom Teaching. But then they entered into different cultural circumstances and many things were added on to them that obscured their significance, that it obscured the authority and conviction of their directness. And so when that occurred, then it was hard to see the teaching for all the bells and whistles attached to it. The trumpets and horns and this and that and whatever is involved. Today, you see, it's impossible to keep flawless wisdom light down because it's never been down anywhere. It doesn't get down. It just simply is. It's never been stuck anywhere. It's never been stuck in history. It's never been stuck in a tradition. It's never been stuck in ownership by anyone. It's never been stuck in anything. It's not something that's holdable and keepable. It can't be seen, it can't be caught forever. It pervades everything. So to try to say I want to get to a state that I'm going to keep forever and see forever, that's just really foolhardy. It's completely foolhardy. The only timeless freedom there is the timeless freedom of immediacy of this experience, whether the experience is all-out love or harsh, horrible unlove. It's an appearance of forever stainlessness, and we cannot know that unless we just allow the stainless flawlessness that is the basis to be as it is. Otherwise, the description of what appears will hold sway, and we'll say, yes, it's this description that's real. Whatever it is, my emotion, my personal identity, my way of seeing things. And the reality of what we are is very direct. It's completely direct. So direct that when we simply hear about it, the conviction about who we are dawns. For all of us today, it's up to us then to keep this tradition alive. It's a precious teaching, the most precious of all teachings. It's ultimate in the sense that it's never been made into anything. So, you know, and it's ultimate too in that it's the birthright of everyone. nothing special is needed, not an education, not food to eat, not good looks, or nothing needs to be done. And it's so consummate, in other words, epitome in its all-inclusivity, that nothing about anyone needs to be changed in order to realize it. Now, what could be more compassionate than that? Nothing whatsoever needs to be changed. Whatever your thoughts are, whatever your emotions are, they're extremely pure. They're extremely pure no matter what the description, and everything about you is extremely pure. There's absolutely nothing to be purified in forever empty awareness. Forever empty awareness is forever pure, and where would there be anything to be purified? So all of these are just notions that seem to have been learned, but they've never been learned. So for many of us, when we just hear about this, it swiftly comes about. So, you know, this isn't anything new. It has existed throughout all of human history, and it's the means by which more people have realized the fundamental nature of their being than the total of all other approaches put together. Far exceeds that number of all other approaches put together. And how is this the case? Because it's so simple. It's so simple. Many of us, you know, it's very difficult for us to even be able to get away from our ordinary life to be involved in all kinds of different approaches to realizing awareness. And so to find out that no matter where we are, who we are, whether we're a housewife in Bakersfield, California, baking chocolate chip cookies, or a pundit in India, or an ashramite somewhere, or a software engineer at Google, or whatever it is, everything, no matter what it is timelessly free. It's the circumstances of your own life that are already timelessly free. Nothing needs to be changed. There's nothing that needs to be changed. For just as long as there is meditation on awareness as some kind of destination, for just that long there will be the absence of wisdom and its potent benefit. So you see, if we want to know what meditation is, then we have to know what meditation means in the ultimate sense. And true meditation is the freeing of all constraints. Well, the freeing of all constraints means that there's nothing that's ever been made into anything, and that within awareness, just like within stainless, flawless sky, there's nothing that's holdable or keepable. Just like within forever empty sky, there's nothing to hold on to anywhere, such is the case with flawless awareness. Wisdom awareness has never been made into anything. The clear light of wisdom awareness has never been made into anything, and it's never been stuck anywhere, and it's never been anywhere. Do you see what I'm saying? It's never been anywhere. It's always naturally present. So to say, well, it's a destination that I have to get to, is to step away from it. It's what's looking that is already here. It's just what's looking, and what's looking has no concepts within it. It's never been made into anything, as I've said repeatedly this morning. It's never been anything other than an expanse of clear light. So, you know, there's nothing to do and no one to do it, and it cannot be arrived at through philosophizing and through thinking about it. It cannot be arrived at through methods and practices or efforts to achieve something. In absolute extreme nakedness, there has never been clothing of any kind. There's never been ornament or adornment or anything other than what it is, completely wide open and spacious. Completely luminous awareness. And so this luminous awareness, it is the basis of every thought that we think. It is the basis of every emotion we feel, the entire basic space of every thought we think, the entire luminous basic space of every emotion that appears, the entire basic space, radiantly so, of every single experience, no matter what it is, high or low. And nothing needs to be changed. If we start to try to change the appearances in order to make them into appearances of awareness, then we'll be lost in that struggle for our entire life. Whatever appears is wide open and free. Whatever appears is the single wide open expanse of timeless awareness. Just like daylight filling space is inseparable from space, so whatever appears is inseparable from the vivid radiance of this daytime light of awareness. The concentrated light of awareness is right here. It's right here. The concentrated life of awareness is what is looking right here, what is touching right here, what is tasting right here, what is hearing right here, what is smelling right here. Without awareness, none of these things just mentioned would be. So, you know, if we're looking for samadhi or the ultimate bliss or whatever it is, then that thinking is the ultimate bliss, the ultimate samadhi. Those emotions, whatever they are the ultimate samadhi, the ultimate bliss. Those experiences, no matter what they are, the ultimate samadhi, the ultimate bliss. The ultimate love, the ultimate wisdom, the ultimate energy. All appearances are wisdom appearances, appearances of the clear light of wisdom, and nothing else. They've never been holed up anywhere. They've never been contained or contracted or constricted or restricted in any way. So whatever it is the perfect samadhi. Whatever it is the perfect bliss. If you're looking for samadhi for just as long as you sit in a state of meditative absorption, for that long you'll avoid ultimate samadhi, you'll avoid ultimate bliss, because the ultimate samadhi, the ultimate bliss already is as everything that is. Whether it's defecating, that's the ultimate samadhi, the ultimate bliss. Making love, ultimate samadhi, ultimate bliss. Bad experiences, horribly negative experiences, ultimate samadhi, ultimate bliss. So don't look for samadhi in a special location. Don't look for meditative absorption in a special location, because it can never be found anywhere. It's never had an address, you see. It's never had an address anywhere. So in simply maintaining flawlessness, which really requires no doing, and people who trust enough and keep turning up, that this is always realized to be the case. So you see, this is simple and straightforward, and it's just a nice way to be together, wouldn't you agree? It's just such a nice way to be together. It's as simple as that, and there really isn't anything to do, and there really isn't anything to change. And if you go somewhere or read a book that tells you there's something to do or something to change, then run the other way or burn the book. Because there's nothing to do and there's nothing to change. And as long as there's persistence in doing and changing for just that long, appearances won't seem flawless. If we think we have to be in a special circumstance to be pure or to have a mind of great equanimity, then we're seeking when there is no search. There's no search anywhere. So if you, I'm not suggesting that if you love meditation that you give that up. I'm just saying that in meditation, rest is awareness, because even if you get into some kind of non-conceptual state where there's nothing going on, that'll just be a point of view. A non-conceptual state is just as much a point of view as a conceptual state. All appearances have never been conceptualized, so that they've never been made into a conception, whether it's non-conceptual or conceptual. The non-conceptual and the conceptual are not two. They're not two separate things. And every moment is the ultimate meditation, no matter what it is. Whatever appearances appear, those are the appearances that will appear. And I can guarantee you that they're unpredictable and they're countless and they're ceaseless. And that even if you were to maintain a non-conceptual state for the rest of your life, which would be impossible, then there would be, at the moment of death, some concepts. Because, you see, death defies all states that we've tried to get ourselves into. There's never been anyone who's gotten involved in anything. So if even in a subtle way we hold that we're someone who's gotten ourselves into something like a non-conceptual state or a state of bliss or a state of quiet or a state of stillness or a state of neutrality or a state of impartiality or any kind of state, then when we face death, we'll see how that goes. You know, when we die, all of a sudden there's an explosion of all these appearances that we never even imagined as possible. It's impossible to imagine, and many of us never even hear what happens when we die. And if you haven't heard about it, then I'll clue you in. You know, when we die, all of the things that we've been trying to hold on to and maintain control of, they disappear. So if we've gotten into some kind of a state, our ability to maintain that state completely disappears. We lose the ability to use our faculties, whether it's thinking or emotions or any other faculties, any of our senses, and these fade one by one. So we're not able to maintain any control through thinking, and then we're not able to maintain emotional control either. Any emotions or thoughts can and do arise, but it's impossible to do anything about them. And then our senses fade one by one. You know, the seeing, the smelling, the tasting, the touching, and none of those are present anymore. But what's still present? Awareness. Awareness is still present. Well, then, you know, the breath stops. However, awareness isn't dependent on any of these things. It's not dependent on sensate experience. It's not dependent on the breath. And then the heart stops. Well, you know, awareness isn't dependent on the heartbeat anyway, either. But unless we've gained familiarity with awareness and all these appearances that may appear at the time of death, then it can be scary, you know, because there are many, many appearances. I've just named a few. All of these thoughts and emotions occur, like, oh, wow, I've eaten my last meal, I've had my last drink of water, scotch, or whatever it might be. Or I won't be seeing my loved ones anymore. No more baths to take. No more rent to pay, no more doing. It's all over now. So you see, all these things just come flooding in out of nowhere. But this is really no different than any other moment of our life, really. All these things are naturally present and completely unpredictable and ceaseless, and they're countless. There's nothing that can be done about them. At the moment, we think we have a management system for all our points of view. In that moment, the next moment will bring the complete smashing of that management system. So no matter how much control we think we have, there's going to be something that happens, whether it's our country being invaded or our personal space being invaded or whatever it is, that's just going to completely smash it all to smithereens. Awareness has never been made into a system of any kind. It's never been made into anything. So to systematize it is to minimize it in some way through thinking about what can't be thought about. When we simply enjoy the dawning of the flawless certainty of who we are, in a very effortless, easygoing way, then it becomes clear that all of these appearances, no matter what they are pristine light, the pristine clear light of wisdom awareness. And so this is very straightforward, very easy. Nothing to do and no one to do it. There isn't anywhere that awareness isn't naturally present, yet it isn't anywhere in particular. It doesn't look like any particular thing. Oh yes, this is awareness right here. This is it. Now, awareness is synonymous with perfect love, wisdom, energy, purity. It's synonymous with all of this. And I mean ultimate purity, not pure versus impure. It's the holy positive purity in which there's never been anything other than purity. So it's not a purity that's opposed to anything else. The naturalness of what we are right here is what guarantees that. Just the awareness by which you know that you're naturally present. That's it. There's absolutely nothing else. There's absolutely nothing else whatsoever. And in that, each moment is complete and identical, simple and pure. The wisdom light that is completely pure shines through all eyes, no matter what eyes those are. Mm-hmm. It shines out equally from and as everything. That's why it's called wisdom. It's the great wisdom of complete equality, the equalness and evenness of absolutely everything, no matter what it is.